be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, today's lessons are all about having faith in God and the kind of God that we have, and then also living with God and knowing that we're living with our Creator, with our God. I chose Isaiah because I think this is one of the best prophets. I really love this section also because it shows the extreme care that God takes, his extreme commitment, his extreme faithfulness. And maybe I should use the word, you know, perfect rather than extreme, but it's amazing and it's almost unbelievable how much love he has for us. And it always talks about what God really wants for us. So it starts off with, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast. And think about that, not just a plain, ordinary meal, which is fine, but God, our God, is going to make a feast. Go the extra mile and make a feast. And then have well-aged wines. And not only that, but having strain clears. So God takes like all the, you know, like the extra care for the person, for us, who's going to eat and drink and be with him. And then it tells how God, our God, will destroy on the mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples. That's each and every one of us, every single human being. If we turn to God, it talks about how he will swallow up death forever. He will wipe away tears. He will also take away the disgrace, the sins of his people. And this is what the Lord our God said. That's what Isaiah was prophesying. And then it says, it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. And that's what we're still doing. We're waiting still for Jesus to return. But we are saved. It already happened. So we can be glad and rejoice even on the worst of the worst days. And then again, in Revelation, it talks about how we dwell with God. John wrote, see, the home of God is among mortals. So what does that mean? Think about it. When we take communion, every single time we take communion, we are housing, we are a temple of God because we take in his body and blood. The presence of God is within us. We are dwelling with God. And again, it says he will wipe away tears. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning or crying or pain. And that's in the next age. That's the description of the next age. Dwelling with God, especially back then, was an amazing thought because the Greek gods were all very capricious. Our God wants to be with us, and we know that through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's God Almighty living on earth as a mortal, as a human being, as a man. So then it continues and it says, and the one seated at the throne, Jesus, says, see, I am making all things new. And that's the point. God makes all things new. He is our hope. He is our sure hope. It's not a hope where we say, oh, I hope I get tomorrow off, or oh, I hope I pass my test, or I hope, you know, whatever it is. But it's a sure hope. Jesus is hope. He embodies hope and love and truth and light. So then he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So Jesus Christ, after he was crucified and rose from the dead, it's a sure thing. It is an absolute sure thing. We do not have to worry. We do not have to stress and strain. All we have to do is pray, know Jesus, and accept him as our Savior. And then it's kind of cute because in the gospel, this is another one of those gospels where all of us, I think, can relate because Mary and Martha, they tend to want to tell Jesus how to be the Messiah. And Mary is weeping because, you know, her brother died, which is fine and normal. But Jesus saw her weeping because she says to him, "My brother would not have died if you were here." Well, in a little while, she's going to know that, nope, he didn't have to be there. He's there now, and all things are possible with Jesus Christ. So he saw her weeping. He saw the Jews weeping. And he was a human being, and he became greatly distressed and disturbed in his own spirit for probably many reasons, which shows us we're allowed to cry. We're allowed to be distressed. We're allowed to care. In fact, we're supposed to. And so he said to them, or they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And he wept. And some of them, and here's another thing about human beings, it shows both sides, kind of the like, I'm with you side, and or the kind that is always trying to get you. And the people were saying, "See how we loved him, because he showed emotion. See how we loved him." But then there were others who said, "Well, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man kept this man from dying?" Well, they're going to find out that, yes, he's going to. But it shows attitude, good attitude or bad attitude. And we have to decide for ourselves, where are we? What kind of attitudes do we have? So then here comes Martha's turn about trying to, you know, help Jesus decide what to do. He tells him to take away the stone. And God loves Martha's the sister, too, of the dead man. So, but Lord, there's already a stench. He has been in there for 4 days. And back then, you know, there was a stench. And for the Jews, after 3 days, the soul had departed and gone, you know, to heaven. And so Martha's going, this is crazy. It's not going to work. You know, don't take away the stone. But then Jesus says to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And that's what's to come. In fact, the reason why he was a little bit late was because he was delayed in Bethany. But Jesus was never rushed or forced. He always did God's will. And so he came when it was God's will. And maybe it was to show this miraculous miracle. So what happens next? Jesus prays. It's a prayer of praise. And he says, you know, "Thank you, God, for already acting, for already working, for already answering my prayer." That's how much confidence. And that's how well Jesus knew the Lord. And he says, "Thank you for all, you know, already listening." And he says that, "I'm not saying this for my sake, but I'm saying it for the crowd so that they may believe that you have sent me." And then comes the test. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." And what happens? The dead man came out. His hands were bound, his feet were bound with strips of cloth, his face was still bound, and Jesus tells them, "Unbind him and let him go." This miracle, which should have changed all of their hearts, and I'm sure it changed many, made some of the people with the bad attitude more definite and more sure about having Jesus killed or crucified. For us, any day is a good day, but for us, we can think to ourselves, who are we like? What kind of attitudes do we have? How gentle, how faithful, how committed, how caring are we? Do we rush around? And I'll tell you, I do. Do we rush around, or do we take our time and listen to God's will? Do his will. And then return to him when we need help. So what I'd like to do is say the prayer of the week again. You can say it along with me. I think it's a beautiful prayer. Imagine the day. Source of all being, beginning and end, we praise you for those who have served you faithfully. For the sake of Jesus Christ, replenish our hope in your eternal kingdom, that we may have life in all its fullness, unfettered by the fear of death. Amen. And I wish I had these holy cards. It says, the saints are those who love God to the utmost. The saints, all of us, are saints. We're not perfect. No saint is perfect. But it's the amount of love that we have for him and one another.